Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Back to the darkness. No, you're in the light. So we've come through the season of Advent, through Christmas, and now we're in the season of Epiphany. We're at the Festival of Epiphany, and there are parallels between Advent and Epiphany, because Advent, about coming, is about Christ our Lord, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, who has come down to us. And in Epiphany, which is about the light shining through, it's not about us going and finding the light. It's about Jesus, who is the light, who has come into the darkness of sin and death and the power of the devil. To be in the dark, as the saying goes, is to not have knowledge of something, to be ignorant of that, to live as though something is a mystery. But in Epiphany, we celebrate that through the Holy Spirit, that the mystery of who God is and how he has come to save is revealed to us in and through Jesus. That Jesus not only is the revelation, but he's the one who brings that revelation to the people of God. He's both the subject and the object of our faith, of the Gospels. When we think about something that is a mystery, though, mystery is what's going to come up, and we'll in just a moment go through the Ephesians text, kind of verse by verse, 40-minute sermon. No, I don't think it's 40. Maybe close. No, don't time me. I know some of you do. That's the mystery. You don't know how long it's going to be. So the mystery, something that's a mystery, is beyond human understanding. I mean, that's generally a definition of that. From a Christian perspective, it's something that's beyond human understanding. It's something that was not known before, but is revealed now. And that's what we'll get to in Ephesians chapter 3, this mystery revealed. Well, I get a nagging feeling when something is a mystery to me. I want to try to figure it out if I can. I want to know what something is. I want to know how it happened. And I want to know why it happened. I was thinking back to about 10 years ago in our first home in Mattoon. I'd walk in from the garage. The kitchen was right there, and there was just a funny smell. I could smell it. Apparently, Andrea, my wife, did not have as strong a sense of smell. The second day goes by, I can smell something in here. It just does not smell good. I'm starting to move things around. She can't smell it. The third day, finally on the fourth day, I had started tearing the kitchen apart, and I reached up on top of the refrigerator, the freezer, and I found it. Andrea had stuck some chicken breast up there to thaw. And about 4 days in, it smelled ripe. And so the what was, well, here's this mystery of something that stinks. The how did it happen? Well, Andrea put it up there. And then the question of the why, because I need to assign blame, and I knew it wasn't my fault. No, the why, well, I know one of the why reasons is one of our dogs at the time was a counter surfer, and probably because he would steal stuff off the counter, instead we stuck it up there to be forgotten for 4 or 5 days. See, this mystery that is figured out. Well, when we're thinking about these things, maybe go through this progression. I've recently been reading this book that says start with why, because here are these questions, and why maybe is at the center, and then there's how, and then outside of that is what. And oftentimes, maybe we start with the what and the how and try to get to the why. At any rate, I'm trying to work through that. I'm working through that in this sermon. But I've realized, I think as we go through the epistles, this is what St. Paul is doing when he's writing to the Christians at Ephesus. He's going through this progression of, in whatever way you want to do it, from what to how to why, or why to how to what. Now, I'll tell you, the how, I think, in every case, is Jesus. Because it's still all about Jesus. How we are reconciled to God. Well, that comes through Jesus. How do you know that God the Father loves you? Well, because of Jesus. So when I'm working through any sermon, I'm kind of saying, well, here's what it is. Well, today it's Epiphany. So the what is, the light shines in the darkness. Well, how does that light shine in the darkness? Well, Jesus is the one. But still the question is, why does this matter to you and me? I'm hoping that it'll be slightly less of a mystery at the end of it to you, but that's what we're working through. So in Ephesians chapter 2, Just before St. Paul goes into this, it's a slight digression in chapter 3. I think all fits together. St. Paul kind of does this stream of consciousness sometimes. I don't really understand people who do that. Kidding. Sometimes happens to me. But so St. Paul says in chapter 2, he says, therefore, to the Christians at Ephesus, but also to the Christians gathered on the southeast side of Indianapolis this morning, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh. Now, there may be some of us here who are actually ethnically Jews. Probably a very small minority, but most of us are Gentiles, meaning non-Jewish people, that you Gentiles in the flesh, called the quote-unquote uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, so people who were Jews who were circumcised would refer to non-Jews as the uncircumcision, and he says, well, that's made in the flesh by hands. He says, remember that at one time you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, because Israel is the chosen people of God, and strangers to the covenants of promise, and because of that, you have no hope. You have no hope, and you're without God in the world. But then in verse 13, he brings the pure gospel here at chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And he goes on to say, so then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens and saints, and members of the household of God. So St. Paul covers this what, how, why, and then in chapter 3, he does it again, so I'll step through that. So if you want to follow along in your bulletin, we'll see each verse here. Going through very quickly, I think. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. So Paul, who is a Jew by birth, is now going to talk about this great act of reconciliation, of the bringing together of God and the Jews, but also now the Gentiles, all brought together in one. So he says, I'm a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. And he has been entrusted with a gift, and it's a gift that St. Paul doesn't keep to himself, but he says, hey, I got to share this with others. It's something that God has given me to do, and it's for the benefit, especially, Paul says, well, it's first for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. So he says in verse 2, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. And now four times in verses 3 through 12, St. Paul is going to talk about the mystery. How the mystery, incidentally, the Greek word for mystery, anybody know it? It's mysterion. So now you know a little bit more Greek. There's one thing you take away. How the mystery was made known to me by revelation, that God showed it to him, that he didn't go and find that out. Something that was hidden in the mind of God. We have no control over it. That God has this grand cosmic plan of restoring all of his creation. But the thing is, it was hidden from previous generations. You heard the Old Testament reading this morning from Isaiah chapter 60, and it is a wonderful picture, and it talks about exaltation and joy. But the thing is, so the people knew that God had promised salvation to all nations. This was a fact. We knew that, they know that it's out there. The thing they didn't know was how God would do it. But you know how God would do it, right? You know how God's going to do it. Who? How? Jesus. Jesus, yeah. Jesus is how God would do it. So they're waiting, and finally the promised Messiah had come. And there we see over there Belshazzar and Melchior and Gaspard, or whatever their names are historically, the three magi who were there, who have come to lay their gifts before the King of Kings. So this was something that was hidden, but now it is revealed. And so he says, when you read this, and in the ancient world, and typically until probably recently, typically when people read things, they read it out loud. Even if they were by themselves, they read it out loud. And I would suggest to try that out, because that generally helps to hear those words spoken. That's what I do when I preach to myself in here. Just say it out loud. It just helps to reinforce that. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the second time here, the mystery of Christ. Because all of this comes together, the mystery is and concerns Christ. Because Christ is always the content, not only of the scriptures, but certainly specifically of Paul's letters, that he is the subject and object of our faith. And so in verse 5, he says, this mystery, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. This mystery, third time, is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So he says, here's what the thing is. The Gentiles, the people that were the nations or the outsiders, he says, this is a mystery. Well, now it's revealed to you. Now they're brought into the family. And how does this happen? Through Jesus. So the question, though, maybe of why does this matter? So he gets down there and he says in verse 7, of this gospel, of this good news, I was made a minister. A minister is kind of like a go-between. It literally, dioko, the Greek word, has to do with running. And a minister, and in Paul's case, a minister delivers something from God to the people of God. And what he's delivering, again, Kayla, guess what Paul is delivering from God to the people of God? His message.
Jesus,
yeah, he's bringing this message about Jesus, the crucified and risen one. So he's bringing this, and he says, verse 8, Paul has some humility here. He says, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints. This is a strange thing. He says, look, I'm maybe the last person you would expect, but God uses the things that the world would consider foolish or surprising to do wonderful things. So he says, Paul, who's considered the least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. One author says it's like an inky black sea. It's completely unsearchable, that apart from faith, no human mind can understand or comprehend what it is, but in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, now we say, here is this gift, this grace, that just is new every day. In verse 9, and to bring to light for everyone, here's this epiphany season, this revelation, to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. When we think about baptism, we go from blindness to sight. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And what you see is Jesus. This also links, when we think about this mystery that's hidden, it links this promise of redemption, of buying back, as well as creation. See, God didn't want to pull us out of creation, but this is where we talked about this during Advent, and we'd certainly celebrate this at Christmas, that Emmanuel, God with us, that God comes down into his creation. He loves his creation so much that he will buy it back, that he ultimately, he's going to make all things new, that he will restore and ultimately perfect his creation, just like it was before the fall, before Adam and Eve sinned. And then verse 10, he says, so that through the church, the manifold, the totality, all of the wisdom of God might now be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, that salvation is wide and it is not just for some or a few, but it is for all. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him, in Jesus. So you hear all this in the what? Well, epiphany, the light shines in the darkness. Well, how does this happen? Well, God reveals it. He does it in and through Jesus, but still maybe, so why does this matter? Why does this matter? How do I know that it matters for me? See, he says, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. But what would it take, or what does it take for me or for you to be a part of that promise, to be written into that story? Well, we saw this again last night. Little Mary Margaret Walker was brought to the waters of holy baptism, that God says, you are a part of this story, that God the Father speaks in and through the church and puts her into Jesus, that she's incorporated into the body, that she's no longer a slave to sin and death and the power of the devil, but she has an identity, she has an inheritance. This comes through Jesus. Oftentimes I've said, well, what is the church? It's the forgiveness of sins place. Well, how does that forgiveness of sins happen? Well, it happens in and through Jesus. But still, the question maybe is, well, why does this matter? Well, each of us can tell that story maybe a little bit differently, and we're still figuring that out. I mean, we should be able to say that our life has been changed, and ultimately changed for the good. That because of Jesus, we no longer have blindness, but we have sight. We no longer have timidity, but we have confidence. Now, that may say that there are things that not to say to have confidence, like you're going to jump off a cliff blindly, but confidence in the face of things that we don't understand, to say that the one who is holds all things together has come and holds on to us in a way that is wonderful, that there is no more slinking around or groping in the dark. That would be blindness themes, but we know that we are brought into the light because of Jesus, who is the light. That Jesus is the light that the darkness cannot overcome. That's what we said. We had a funeral yesterday. That's the same thing we said. In the valley of the shadow of death, we come together and say yet again, Jesus is the light, no matter how dark it seems, that will shine no matter what. We say that he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what we say at the end of our baptismal liturgy. But very specifically, in verse 10, we see this again, that Paul says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is made known. That we come together, and there's a very specific way that this God who holds all things together, has this cosmic plan of salvation, comes very intimately in and through the church. That the church should be the place where the light is most visible and seen most clearly. And I don't mean just here. It should be happening in the context of the worship service, but the church is not only a building, right? It's the people. That you and I who are brought into Jesus, who is the light of the Christ, well, Jesus says of Christ, Christ is the light, that you and I also are the light, who goes out to shine in all the places that God has placed us to show and tell that story about why it matters that we have a hope. Here is this message that on the one hand that is global, that on the other hand is intensely personal. And the place you can say, well, how do I know I'm written in? Well, as Lutheran Christians, we say, I'm baptized. Christ has come for me. That now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In the end, it's not just enough to say, well, it's good that I know Jesus. I hope that other people figure it out too. See, this mystery that has been revealed to us, the distinguishing mark of the Christian mystery is that it's to be made known, to be shared with others. That's why St. Paul says, I'm a minister who's here to share it with you. But each of us have been called to reflect and tell that story. Not just to say, well, here's what it is. It's about the forgiveness of sins. Well, how does it happen? It happens through Jesus. But then it's constantly telling why. Why does it matter? And each of us has got a very personal story to tell with that. And God is still at work there. Because apart from Christ, who is the light, living in darkness would probably be a miserable thing. It's a wonderful blessing that we have here as we gather again on this morning and we have the light shining through, to know that Jesus is the one who shines. And I just can't wait still, because I know on that day when Christ returns, there will be only light and you'll need no darkness at all. But until then, we have this hope. This hope that Jesus is the light who illuminates the now, but he gives the hope of the not yet. And so because of Jesus, you and I, we've got a purpose. Not just a purpose for the moment, but a lasting purpose. We come back into the church and hear that again. We are the church and go out and tell that. We have sight where there would otherwise be blindness. We have a direction. So Jesus, the one who is the light of the world, came not only, and the Magi saw him 2,000 years ago, but he comes for you and me. Comes and reveals and shows that we have a hope that never puts to shame. To Christ be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your heart and minds in Christ Jesus, who is the light of the world. Amen.